All right. Who's enjoying the summer holidays? Yeah? Yeah, I am. I really enjoy that kind of, you get to that certain date, whatever that might be for you. You know, for us it was like, yeah, we can now kick back and relax. And even if you're still working, you're sort of on, I don't know, relaxed time. And you know, the thought and the idea of having the sunshine on your face, where has that sunshine been? But we did have for us definitely, we had that little snippet of sunshine, and it was just wonderful to be able to go down to the beach and the breeze and the warmth of the sun, and it was just wonderful. And we will get some more summer. We will. Now, I remember summer holidays as a kid. I don't remember much of the packing process. What I do know, that Mum and Dad would just go for it. And they would pack up. We had a trailer. We would be going camping. And they would pack everything up. And my brother and I, basically, we just knew to stay clear, stay away from the car, until the time came. And then we would be slotted in like everything else was, you know, and strapped in, and they would wind the window down, you know, enough, shut the door. No, before that, the pillow went in, yeah? No, it's nothing like an airbag, but it was a pillow that was put in, and we would continue to be packed around, shut the door, and then off we would go. We didn't have the light camping gear back in those days. My dad had built, out of some very solid wood, a kitchen shelving unit, and everything would go into it. It was very heavy and very bulky. And Mum had made some curtains for our tent. It was one of those tents with the central pole, you know, the canvas ones. And she made some curtains so everybody could have a little bit of privacy, which was really nice. I do remember that. But what I also remember is that once we were on the road, there was no stopping. Okay, once we left home, we only stopped, basically, I feel sick kind of thing, when the car and the trailer would be pulled over, the door open, stuff would be pulled out, pillows out, picked up, taken over to the ditch, and then brought back in, and then packed up, and off we would go again. We never stopped for ice creams, or I'm sure we stopped for loo stops, but I don't remember it. I remember the dash off to the bathroom when we got there. But hey, we got there. And we'd be there for 6 weeks or so. It was really lovely. And Dad would come back and forward. We kind of, from his work, come down on a Thursday, have a long weekend. And we kind of seemed like we were there forever, 5 or 6 weeks, coming back just in time for school. Now, some of that kind of rubbed up off on us as parents. I kind of remember that, you know, we go away every year. We go to the same place with the same friends on the same site. It's wonderful. We love it. And there'd be all that effort of planning and preparing and packing. And then once it's done, all we want to do is we want to get on the road. Of course, I'd make sure, you know, like, not like my mother, but we would have a water bottle and we would have snacks. And of course, I'd do the, do you need to go to the toilet? No. But the idea was to get as quickly and as safely as possible to our campsite. No stops, no interruptions. Now life, that old cliche, life is a journey. Life is not like that. As in, we plan and we hope and we dream and we aim for something, we have a goal. And especially if we believe that it is God-breathed and God-ordained, and we think nothing is going to get in my way, nothing's going to stop me. However, as we all know well, along life's way, we all have experienced that there are many stops and interruptions. Some of them are planned and scheduled and necessary, but there are some that are completely unforeseen. As we stand here at the beginning of 2023, it doesn't mean that we're at the beginning of another journey. Well, for most of us anyway, because it's not like we get to the 1st of January and the reset button goes off. Everything that was past has been wiped and now we face the new year. So it's new, literally new. No, most of us continue our journey, that which we were walking into or walking through from last year into this year. And chances are you've been on that road for some time. Now, I'm not obviously talking about the journey of life here. I'm more talking about the season of life that you might be in. So you might be in that spring season when there's the thought of something new is growing and something new is being birthed, and you're in that dreaming or you're thinking or the planning kind of process. That's spring. Or you might be in summer where things, the dreams that you have are flourishing and there's growth and it's exciting and it's wonderful. Or you might be in the autumn, that autumn season. Excuse me. We see the beauty of the flourish of summer, but we see that there's an end of things coming, that there is change ahead. We might be in the winter season where it kind of seems like the branches are bare. And is there any life at all? It looks dead. But actually it is a time of reset. And the truth of it is that there is much activity going on underneath, getting ready for the spring season. So being aware of what season that you might be in your journey at this point of time is important. Now as we journey, I'd like for us to look this morning at a couple of verses that are found in Psalm 25, verses 4 to 5. So if you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to look it up with me. Pardon? Psalm 25. And today I'm going to be reading it from the Passion Translation. And it reads, Lord, direct me throughout my journey so I can experience your plans for my life. Reveal the life paths that are pleasing to you. Escort me along the way. Take me by the hand and teach me. For you are the God of my increasing salvation. I have wrapped my heart into yours. Lord, direct me throughout my journey so I can experience your plans for my life. Reveal the life paths that are pleasing to you. It's such an interesting statement that is made by David, because here is a man who kind of has set his GPS on becoming king. But as we know, his journey towards becoming king was anything but straight. It wasn't always clear. And actually, it took some time. It took 15 years from the time that he was anointed as a boy to when that crown was placed upon his head. But as we can see from reading the Psalms and other scriptures, in fact, the whole Bible itself, life doesn't take a straight path. And that what seemed very clear and obvious, either days, weeks, months, or even years ago, may seem very shady and uncertain now. I wonder if you know that feeling, where you've had a really strong sense of direction from God, whether it's come by someone speaking a word to you that you've received, or whether it's that inner prompting from God, and you're like, yes, this is the path, this is the way that I need to go. And then you find yourself wondering sometime later, did I hear wrong? Is this right? And if you're certain that it's right, you go, well, when, Lord? When is it all going to happen? When is it all going to unfold? Or how, Lord? Because how I thought isn't how it's kind of working out for me. And then why, Lord? Why is this happening? Why? But looking at David, what we can learn that is in that, despite the incredible diversion along the way, and he had many towards his being crowned king, his focus and his attention and his heart was ever being directed towards God. And in honesty, he pours out his heart to God, and we read them in the Psalms, and so many of them start with, God, this is terrible. This is awful. Kill my enemies. Everybody hates me. And he pours it all out, and he goes, "This, I don't like this," but then he comes back, and he says, "But I trust you. You are God, you are worthy of praise." And it's David's desire that wherever he might find himself and whatever is happening to him, despite and because of what he is facing, it's his desire that God would be the one who is directing him so that he can experience all the fullness that God has for his life. Sure, his circumstances weren't always great. Think cave. Think some of his companions along the way. But all the time he was endeavouring to keep his eyes on God. And because of all of his experiences along the way, the boy David, who was anointed to become king, was a very different man who actually became king. And he was a better man for it. Which helps us to realise that there is so much for us to learn along the way of our journey, of our lives, through the good and the bad and the challenges and the triumphs as we head towards that which God has called us into. It's in those times that we can experience growth and transformation. And of course, with growth comes new challenges, which do stretch us and challenge our thinking and our attitudes and our heart. And so the person that who began on the journey, we become a very different person who finishes the journey, which for some of us brings joy and hope. Thank goodness I'm not the same that I was, was back then. But for some of us, because of the changes that are made, there is an element of grief and of loss. But what it also tells us is that we don't have to have everything sorted out before we begin the journey. And this might bring some comfort for those who this year are stepping into something new. We're stepping into the unknown, stepping into, whatever it is that God has got. Wondering, how on earth am I going to be able to do this? What is life going to look like for me? Of course, being as well prepared as we can is obviously really important. But it also means that as we allow him to, God will teach us along the way. And he will faithfully provide what we need. Indeed, Lord, direct us throughout our journeys so we can experience your plans for our lives. For who of us truly sets out in life fully skilled and prepared? Imagine most of us don't, because otherwise, why would we need God? When we read in the Bible of those who have had the end goal in mind, where God has shown them something that they're going to be walking into, yet despite a change of their path along the way, they have kept their eyes on God. And the first person of this that I can think of is Joseph. Think about the dreams that he had, literally, the dreams that he had, where people were going to be bowing down to him. That sounds good, doesn't it? But as he shared that, and saw him being betrayed by his own family, wasn't expecting that, left for dead, sold, then enslaved, and then imprisoned and forgotten. And all of the while, it seems that the integrity of his being throughout this time, the Joseph who had dreams was a very different man who was the one to see those dreams fulfilled. And again, all that took place for that to happen. All the time that it took for that to happen. Joseph, how many times along the way did he kind of go, what's happening? Why, Lord? Still, God was faithful. Then we think of Moses. Moses started off as a tiny little baby, and then suddenly he went into the palace. Palace life sounds really good for him, doesn't it? But then we saw that he then ended up back out of the palace. His life changed, and then he was told that he was going to be, God invited him, I guess, told him that he was going to be the one who would lead the people into the promised land. And so faithfully he did what he was called to do. You remember being up when he was up the mountain, receiving the word of God, the stones, what was happening behind him down below in the mountain? Everyone had turned away. But still he remained faithful to the calling of God on his life. And then Paul, well, according to us, his beginning wasn't very good. The early church tells us of how he did everything that he could to stop the way of Jesus to grow. He killed disciples. He killed Jews, Christian Jews, until he had that moment where he encountered Christ and it changed his life. And he was now charged to preach the good news to the Gentiles and their kings, as well as to the people of Israel. When you read the story, his story in Acts, there's a good chunk of it where he's in prison and he's being wrongfully accused, but still he keeps his eye towards what it is that he's called to do and continues in his time of trials and challenges to continue to preach the gospel. And then again, I think of Jesus. And I heard this just the other day, that he was a man of intention. You know, I only do what the Father's calling me to do. Yet still, he was open to interruption along the way. How many stories in the Bible, how many miracles have taken place that were interruptions to where Jesus was going? Along the way, you know, Jesus is going somewhere and something happens. Something miraculous happens. The thing is, and I'm not telling you anything that you don't know here, life doesn't always go the way that we think it should do. It's not a straightforward journey. Yeah, well, sometimes the going off the track, you know, it might be of our own doing or of our own choosing. And when this happens, it's those times that we really do need to stop and refocus and realign ourselves to the will of God. But sometimes it is part of the journey. And truth be known, had we known about these little side trips, we may not have started. Sometimes it has nothing to do with us whatsoever, and those detours can be incredibly challenging. I know that for myself, literally. Yet along the way, as we continue to live our lives with and for God, these changes of directions in the hands of God can become part of our transformation to be more Christ-like, where some of those edges are rubbed off and some parts of us get sharpened. Some of our extra luggage gets to be reassessed and let go of for good. That's if we allow them to be. But like these last few years when we've learnt to be flexible and open to change, praying this prayer of, Lord, direct me throughout my journey so I can experience your plans for my life, becomes one of trusting God that he is directing us throughout our journey, no matter where we might find ourselves right now. And absolutely, we keep our eye on the goal. However, along the way, there is so much for us to experience. And then David says, escort me along the way. Take me by the hand and teach me. Now, escort is such an old-fashioned concept. Yeah. But I guess what we would say is, be with me, Lord, along the way. Which, of course, he is. It may be, though, that we're not necessarily aware of his presence. You know, we hold on to the word and the promises of God that he will be with us. And I love Isaiah 43 verse 2, that no matter what we go through, might be rivers or fires, and while that may not be a reality for many of us, around the world it is. There are floods and rivers that are overflowing their banks, and there are fires all around us. But that may not be our reality, but there are times when we do feel like we're drowning. Our circumstances coming up and we're like, I can't breathe, I can't see, I don't know what to do. We feel that there are times where it's too hot, you know, there's too much happening. We feel like we're going to get burnt because of the situations that we're in. Yet God says that he will never leave us and that we will not be harmed. Hence, we hold on to him for dear life. And we pray, lead us and teach us in these times. And it is in these times that we remind ourselves, or that we remind, or we are reminded on whose hand that we're holding on to. We're holding on to God's hand, God our Father, the creator of the universe, the one who at the sound of his voice, the world was created. God the Son, Jesus Christ, the physical expression of God, of God's love here on earth, who lived to reveal the Father and the Father's heart to the world, who died and rose again, overcoming sin and death, that which separates us from the Father, so that we could be free to know him personally and intimately. And God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, who now lives and moves within us all, who is delighted to bring revelation of the Father and of the Son, and empowering us to live and move and have our being in him. And then there is this request from David that God would actually take hold of his hand. Now, this is a man who has fought lions and bears, who has killed a giant and has had to learn to fend for himself in many ways. Yet here he is like a child asking God to take his hand and show him the way, to teach him what he needs to know. It's a sign of honesty that he doesn't know it all. It's a sign of humility that God is God and he is not. And it's a sign of his heart that he desires to follow the way of God. I don't know about you, but I certainly don't know it all. And I am definitely not God, but I do desire to follow the will and the way of Jesus. And if that means that I have to empty my hands of all the props and the things that I might be holding on to that I deem unnecessary, to then to be able to take hold of God's hand, to be open to his leading and him showing me along the way so that I can experience his plans, his life-giving plans for my life, that which is pleasing to him, then I choose to lay them down. Letting go so I can take hold of God. Letting go of my desire to know the process and the outcome so that I can be led in ways that are right and good and pleasing to him. Now, we hold hands for different reasons, but mostly out of relationship. A parent and child, you know, there's that. They hold hands for safety and protection. But the older that the child gets, the more mature that they are, you don't need to hold hands. You know, my dad doesn't still hold my hand now as time goes on, because maturity says that I'm not going to run off and I'm not going to do anything that's going to harm me. But if I choose to hold my dad's hand, it's out of love and affection. The same could be true with our relationship with God. You know, there are times where we feel like we are so close to him, and it's so incredibly necessary for us to hold on to him because we want him to lead us and guide us, especially in new areas and things that we don't know. Sometimes there can be that gentle tug as he pulls us away from the danger, you know, the prompting of the Spirit that we have, where there might be the fear that we might dash off somewhere which could harm us. The Spirit often prompts us in things like that. But then as our relationship grows and matures, as the Word of God is firmly planted within us, within our hearts and not just our minds, we choose to stay with him. We choose to stay close to him, and we learn to walk in rhythm with him. We choose to hold his hand. We choose to seek him out, and to continue to learn from him, to lean into him, because we know that he is good and he is loving. This kind of reminds me of Jesus' words that we read in Matthew 11:28, about being yoked with him and learning from him because he's a good teacher. Being yoked means that we are side by side. I've written down that we're stuck side by side, but there is an element of that when you are yoked. When oxen are yoked together, they can't move away. Of course, when we choose to be yoked to something or someone other than Jesus, the outcome can be quite different, that we can then too be going off in some other direction. But as we are yoked with Jesus, then we continue along the path that he has for us. Now, being yoked and holding hands aren't the same, but there's a similar kind of understanding there. It speaks of presence, it speaks of closeness, and it speaks of being teachable. And it's one thing to ask for help. It's another thing to receive help. And then it's still another thing entirely to actually use the information that's been given. When given advice or help, it can be so easy for us to go, oh, yeah, I know that, because we kind of do know it. But it's something else to actually be humble enough to implement it. Being open and teachable, no matter what we already know, no matter how far down the journey we are, is how we can experience a greater depth of life with and in God. And this is the ongoing invitation that Jesus offers to us. You know, in this passage, here's David asking for help. And some of us don't like to ask for help, but in this passage in Matthew, Jesus is offering it. It's an invitation. He says, come to me, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn to live lightly and freely. It's not a passive invitation, but an active one. It requires us to continually respond, to continually choose him, to choose his will and his way. And it's assuming that childlike, teachable faith. It's trusting that God knows the beginning from the end, that he is working all things for our good, that God is never taken by surprise. And you know what? I really hold on to that myself. Whatever's happened, whatever unusual, unexpected thing that has happened, it's not taken him by surprise. It's saying to God, you are God and I am not. And it's trusting in his goodness and his faithfulness, trusting that his life plans are not only pleasing to him but good for us. And then David says, for you are the God of my increasing salvation. I have wrapped my heart in yours. And this is one of the wonderful outcomes of living life with God, Father, Son, and Spirit, is that our hearts have become wrapped together. And I really like this kind of imagery. As our relationship with God grows, as we travel the lonely roads with him, as we travel the mountain paths, or if we just go along the common path with all of humanity, keeping in step with him, slowly but surely our hearts become wrapped in his. And so we find our thoughts become more like his. And in this we may find ourselves questioning our original or initial responses to situations. Because our hearts and our minds are being transformed and renewed, what we used to think was good and okay has been changed, and it becomes different. We get a greater and newer revelation and understanding about life. But because of this, it causes us then to keep going back to God and saying, things are different now. Lord, teach, direct me through my journey so I can experience your life plans. That's what we ask. Now that I see and I think and I want to behave differently, escort me along the way, take me by the hand and teach me, for you are the God of my increasing salvation and I choose to wrap my heart into yours. And so it goes on as we journey on and we learn new things and we get greater understanding. We go, how do I work this in my life? What does this mean for me in my context right now? And so we go back and we continue to ask these questions. As we step into this new year and as we look down the barrel of 2023, we might well envision how it could look like. And I hope you do have goals and dreams and plans and hopes for this year ahead. I know that I do. But as we know, it will not necessarily be the straight path that we hope for, because there will be stops and interruptions planned and scheduled. But there will be some that we never saw coming. And I hope and I pray that these words of David from Psalm 25 would become like a prayer for you. That even each day we would say, Lord, even though I'm walking on a path I believe that you have planned for me, please continue to direct me, because I want to experience all that you have for me. But Lord, if I'm not going in the direction that you want for me, show me where you do want me to go. Show me how to come back, how to correct my path. I'm trusting in you that your way is better than my way, and I'm trusting that you will direct me. And Lord, we pray that you will give us a greater awareness of your presence, personally and corporately. And thank you that we are never alone. Help us to have open and teachable spirits so that in whatever season we might find ourselves in, we would have all that we need to journey well. Your presence and your spirit with us. We thank you that you have saved us and that you are saving us and that you will continue to save us, to heal us and to restore us. We thank you for what you have done, what you are doing and what you will continue to do. And we continue to love you with our hearts and with our minds, with our souls and with our strength. As we come to the end of our service now, I just wonder, I'm going to invite Dale and the band to come up. And I'm just going to ask them to play the Ocean Song, if you would. And I want to just give us a moment to reflect. Just some time that, if that scripture could go back up, please, Lynn. Yeah, Psalm 25. And maybe it might be that you are walking on that path. But like as we prayed earlier, you're waiting. You're waiting to get to the end. So you'll pray for grace and for strength. Or if you find yourself walking on the path that you felt God was leading you on, but you find yourself somewhere completely different in this time, is it a moment of asking God, am I on the right path? Do you need to lead me back? Or is this what you have planned and ordained for me, but I just didn't know it and I couldn't see it? Give us a greater awareness of your presence. Maybe ask him to take your hand and lead you and guide you and teach you. Or maybe you're in that place where there is just so much going on, so much happening. I just have a sense of that this morning, that for some people it's just kind of like the sea is going on around them. Kind of like the song in a way, but that he's asking you to continue to walk on the path that he has for you and to keep your eyes on him. Your heart's open to him in this time. And I pray that we would have a growing awareness of his delight over us. That through all of this, he continues to desire that we would know him in the fullness of life. Indeed, those life plans that he has for us that are good. So let's just take a moment to reflect on those scriptures.